Well, if you turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, and if that sounds familiar, it's because this is the passage that we turned to 4 weeks ago when we first began this series of messages on decision making. And at that time, we read verses 3 through verse 14. And this morning, I just want to read the heart of this particular passage. I want to read with you verses 9 and 10. So if you're ready, here we are. Verse 9, Colossians chapter 1. For this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Don't you just wish you knew what God's plan was for your life? If God has a plan for my life, I sure wish that He would just let me know. Haven't you asked that question or made that kind of exclamation, maybe with a sigh? With all of the decisions that we have to make, with all of the choices that confront us, so often there seems to be so few clear answers. How can we make good decisions, especially when we face difficult issues? How do we know God's desires for us when it comes to particular relationships or a business decision or a career choice or a major expenditure? We've been thinking about this together in recent weeks, and I began by saying that God, like any loving parent, wants to help us make good, wise, sound decisions that are good for us, that are good for others, that honor Him, and that are in keeping with His overall desires for our lives. And I said that for our purposes, at least, there are two aspects of God's will that we have to be aware of. We have to be aware of His universal or revealed will for all people found in His Word. And we also have to be aware that He has a particular will that applies to each one of us in the unique circumstances and situations of our lives. And I suggested that God's particular will is less like a detailed blueprint and much more like a compass that points us in the right direction. And that God gives us the freedom to make our decisions, to make our choices, as long as they are in keeping with His revealed will in the Bible and His overall plan for our lives. And in giving us that freedom, He honors the fact that He created us in His image as people capable of discernment, able to make decisions, people who have been given minds that allow us to think and reason. You see, with God, there is so often more than one way to get to our destination. And because God is a limitless, sovereign God, He can take our choices, even our poor choices, I might add, He can take our choices and fit them into the unfolding of His plans for our lives. And here's the deal. The most important issue for God is not what school we go to. It is not what career we might pursue. It is not where we might live. The most important issue for God is our faithfulness to His Word. It's our moral purity. It's our love. It's our faith. It's our worship. It's our willingness to be used by God to touch the lives of others with the love of His Son, Jesus Christ. All of which we can pursue in whatever college choice we make, whether it's Grand Valley or it's Hope or it's a University of Michigan, whether we become a landscaper or a doctor or a dentist or a social worker or a pastor or a stay-at-home dad, whether we're wealthy or have a modest income all of our lives. So given this framework, how can we make wise decisions that are good for us, are good for others, are God-honoring, and are keeping within His desires for us? And we said last week, the first thing that we need to do, and it is not a one-time thing, it is a continuing, and that is to pray and to pray for wisdom. Wisdom, we said, is the result of God shaping our hearts and our minds through His Word so that in time we begin to mirror the heart and mind of God, which is the reason why it is so important for us to be in God's Word, to know God's Word, to be people of God's Word. And then secondly, turn to Scripture. Because the Bible, as we have said so often, is the primary means by which God speaks to us in the decisions that we have to make. It's the primary means by which God informs us in the choices that we must make, either through precepts, which are specific truths that directly relate to a particular decision, or through general principles that are found throughout Scripture that we can apply to a choice or a decision that we must make. And over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at many examples of these principles and these precepts. But then what about the individual decisions that we need to make that the Bible doesn't seem to speak to directly? And we began to identify a couple of factors that we ought to consider when making wise, sound decisions. There are times, for example, when God uses circumstances to point us in a particular direction. It may be through open and closed doors, for example, or timing and other circumstances. But then remember we said that when you consider open and closed doors and the circumstances of our lives, then always be sure that the choice that we make is supported and affirmed or confirmed by other factors, because it's often not a good idea to make a decision based on just circumstances alone. Well, then there's the counsel of other Christians, people that we respect and we trust. It's often helpful because it helps us clarify the issues and our own reactions to those issues, and it helps us make sure that we're maintaining good perspective, and because there's often much to learn from the wisdom and experience of other Christians who have been involved with similar kinds of concerns and decisions and choices, and because we need to make sure that we're thinking clearly as Christ followers, that we're not rationalizing, and that our understanding of the principles and precepts in Scripture are actually correct, and that we're not blind to our own shortcomings and limitations. But then, what about our desires? You know, are our desires a good factor in making decisions? How do they come into play? And I've heard a number of people who over the course of time now have suggested that our preferences shouldn't really be a big factor in making decisions, as if what we want couldn't be what God would want for us. But actually, The Bible says that our personal desires and our leanings and our preferences can play an important role in decision making. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, for example, Solomon presents this advice. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Well, Solomon is encouraging the young to follow the desires of their heart as long as they're within the parameters of God's word. And this is a consistent theme throughout Scripture, and I just can't emphasize the role of Scripture enough. Psalm 37, as we have seen, says, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." So our desires, as long as they don't conflict with the principles and the precepts found in God's word, ought to be an important factor alongside of others, circumstances, and the counsel of other people, for example, in making a decision, and certainly in making a significant, a major decision. And then there's sound judgment, good, sound judgment. As I said before, God created us with the capacity to think and to reason and to reflect, and He gives us a rational mind and He expects us to use it. That's why He gave us a brain. And as a matter of fact, the choice that often makes the most sense to us is, no surprise here, the best choice. Not always, but often. Ezra chapter 7, we read, "You and your fellow Israelites may then do whatever seems best with the rest of the silver and gold in accordance with the will of your God." Joshua 9 records, "We are now in your hands. Do to us whatever seems good and right to you." And then in Acts chapter 15, "Then the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas." These are all examples of people just exercising their best judgment here. And there isn't anything startling about this. God expects us to use our decision-making capabilities to make good choices, common sense choices about our health and about our families and about our friendships and marriage relationships and the like. So use good judgment. Weigh all the factors. Search the scriptures. Look at the circumstances, you know, the open and closed doors and the timing and all the circumstances that are involved in a particular decision. Take a good look at your gifts and abilities, right? Your strengths and limitations, the way that you are wired, where God has been working in your life and how He has been blessing certain decisions, because God often leads us in areas in which He has already been blessing. Think about what you've learned from your past experience. Get the advice of other mature Christians that you know and trust. Consider your own desires and your own leanings. What do you really want to do? And if you're still wrestling, if you're really wrestling with the decision, you might find it helpful, as many do, to take a piece of paper and to write down all of the different choices that you can make, all of the different options you can make, and then the pros and the cons that are attached to each one of these options, as you think about all of the factors involved in decision making, and then just spend some time reflecting on those choices, on those pros and cons, and pray about it, and ask God to give you wisdom to make a good choice, to exercise a good, sound judgment. And when you've thought about it, and when you've prayed about it, and when you've considered Scripture, and when you have researched all of your options, and you've taken into consideration the counsel of other people, if that was appropriate, when you've done everything that you know what to do in making a decision, then make your decision. Make the best decision that you are able and leave the results to God. Make your plans, entrust them to God, be bold when you have to be bold, always leave room for God to change your plans, because God can see things that we cannot see. This God who is without limits, God knows what we cannot know. Now, let's acknowledge something that you already know. Let's just acknowledge that since you can't know the future, you rarely have 100% certainty about many of the decisions that you have to make. I mean, oh, that we could all be 100% certain when we sign our name on a dotted line. You know, after all, if you're facing a life-changing decision, you know, across the country move, a new career, whether or not to undergo an experimental treatment, you'd like to know if it's the right thing. You'd like to be so clear about it. But who knows what the future is? Who of us can be absolutely certain of the results of these kinds of questions? Now, some people take the view, well, if there's any room for doubt, if you're going to hesitate at all, if you're not really sure, best that you just don't make a decision. Or maybe you don't make a decision until you can be sure. But really, how realistic is that? It might be in some cases. Is that always the best advice? Is it always realistic? You think about how God often works, says Ray Pritchard, author and pastor. Did Abraham know his destination when he left his home in Ur? No, he didn't know, but he followed God's leading, not knowing where he was going. Did Moses know exactly what it would mean to lead God's people? No, he did not. In fact, right from the beginning, Moses was filled with self-doubt, didn't believe he had what it took to lead God's people. Did Joshua know how the walls were going to come down? No, he did not. But he followed God's leading. He suffered the abuse of the people of Jericho, who just ridiculed him, and the walls came down. Did David know for certain that he would defeat Goliath? No, he did not. But that didn't stop him from picking up the 5 smooth stones from the brook. I mean, the Bible is filled with all kinds of examples, right? Did Esther, when she went into the court of the king, know exactly what the king would be thinking and saying and doing? No, she did not. Did Daniel know that the lions would be happy to see him? No, he did not. Did Peter know that he could walk on water? No, he did not. Did Paul know when he went to Rome what was to come? No, he did not. You see, the life of faith, in so many places in the Bible, meant living with a certain measure of uncertainty, even as they were trying to follow God's leading. You see, too many people want what God has never promised, 100% certainty before they act. And so they wait, and they wait, and they hesitate to go forward because they are waiting for a level of confidence that almost removes the need for faith altogether. After all, if we're truly 100% certain, where is there any need for faith? So when the time comes, make your decision, the best decision that you are able. Leave the results to a loving and sovereign God and relax. Leave it to God and relax, knowing that He can take all of our decisions, whatever those decisions may be. He can take all of those choices that we make, whatever they may be, and He can weave them into His good plans and purposes for our lives. And here's the thing. If you are willing to trust God with the details of your life, then you will eventually discover that He is leading you step by step. Because the fact of the matter is, God cares for you and He cares for me deeply. He has a plan and He has a purpose for our lives. And He will guide you and He will guide me if we have a guidable heart. And even when the decisions don't seem crystal clear to us, if we're cultivating a heart for God and allowing His Word to shape our lives, you and I can be sure that He's right there behind the scenes, guiding us all along. I mean, think about it with me. How often haven't you looked back over the course of some season of your life or your life as a whole and seen the hand of God in the decisions and the choices that you have made? I mean, in hindsight, you can see that God was involved all along in your choices. So trust God and relax. In the end, you will be able, maybe I want to put it this way. In the end, you will be who He wants you to be. You will go where He wants you to go. You will do what He wants you to do. And that's God's promise to those who are trusting the one who owns the future and is committed to guiding us and leading us into it. Now let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your word to us over these last 4 weeks. And I do pray that these words will be a source of strength and provide confidence for us as we meet the choices and the challenges of life and as we seek to make decisions that are good for us and for others, that will honor You and that will be in keeping with Your desires for Your good plans and purposes for our lives. So I pray that You will help us to ponder this, to continue to think about these messages, continue to speak to us and encourage us as we face our choices and make our decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and grant you His peace. Amen.